Just imagine getting out of bed, going to school and seeing yourself on the bus, yourself skipping on the side of the road, yourself talking to yourself. How would you feel? This ties in with our question. What would the world be like if we all looked the same?
Life would be very hard to try and be the best as many people try to do today. Too many people will get bullied because of the elders who think they have power. Have you ever known a set of identical twins? I know a few, and each pair is vastly different. So each person may look the same, but their personalities would still be different.
The world would stop using gender advertisement because who really wants to see their face exploited? Touch ID also wouldn't work because everyone would have the same ID.
Individually would likely become more competitive, because everyone wants to prove they're different from the same. The irony being that it would make everyone more similar.
We would hit the principle of human evolution. Violence would cease completely. Everybody would be electronically chipped, and each person would be labelled from numbers based on when they were born. If we all looked the same, we would have fine ways to remember each other.
For instance, by phone number, number from birth, or clothing. We complain about all the chaos in the world because of everyone's differences and sometimes wish everyone was the same.
Can we really say that without regretting it? We're told, be careful for what you wish for, and this wish is one that we should reconsider.
Stores would only start making one of each item, to make sure everyone was really wearing something different to distinguish them.
Just imagine being taught by the same face and your class has all the same faces. Could you possibly live with that? The negatives. You could blame it on someone. You don't know who your friends are. A lot easier to scam. A lot harder to get jobs. Faking ID, a boring world.
Positives. You will never be left out. If you have any more positives, send it through to bigthoughts@aquinas.wa.edu.au and you might be featured in our next episode.
You probably haven't heard the word kintsugi before. That's not very surprising, as most people won't have, though they might have heard about what it means. Kintsugi is a Japanese word, and you might say it like this, kintsugi. It's made up of two smaller Japanese words. The first part, kin, means golden, and the second part, sugi, means fixing. When you put the two together, it means repairing a broken thing in a beautiful way. This might sound like quite an odd idea at first. Normally, if something gets broken, you feel like it is ruined. You might want to throw whatever it is away and get a new one, but not with kintsugi.
Kintsugi started a long time ago in Japan. The ancient Japanese people loved vases and cups, and they had a tradition of making very beautiful ones, but because they were so fine, they were delicate and got broken easily. Most owners immediately threw away the broken ones and went out shopping for new ones. But in the middle of the 16th century, someone had the idea that rather than just throwing away the beautiful pots, cups, and bowls, they should try fix them. People began to fix their broken ceramics, but instead of sticking the bits back together with clear glue, they started to mix the glue with gold dust. This meant you could see very clearly where a pot had been repaired. By doing this, they weren't trying to pretend that the cup or vase had never been broken. They were making it very clear that it had been fixed. They were showing that they didn't mind and it was okay to keep hold of something that had once been broken.
Kintsugi is a big idea. It started from a very small thing, fixing broken cups. But the same idea can be used for fixing more important things as well. It's not just cups that can get broken too, or bowls, or toys, or televisions. Actually, the most important things that can get broken are people. When people break, it is a funny kind of breaking. It is not just the physical breaking of bones or hurting your body. Breaking can also happen if you get very angry or say something horrible. When this happens, you feel as if you have spoiled what was nice and lovely about yourself. Maybe you feel like other people won't want you anymore.
But you can mend yourself the same way the kintsugi cups are mended. When you feel sorry about what you did and said sorry to the people you hurt, it is the kind of mending. You are repairing your feelings.
You do not forget that a difficult thing has happened, and you are not pretending that you never said or did that thing, but you're making it better and fixing the problem.
When you make up with someone, it can become better than it was before. After you have made up, you can feel sure that an argument will not mean the end of a friendship, and that makes the friendship much stronger. You know too that you can be angry with your parents and explain what the problem is and put it right. And you can make your relationship with your parents better than it was before. Knowing that feelings can be mended is very helpful. Sometimes you can't help hurting other people's feelings, and sometimes they cannot help hurting yours. That is never nice. But you don't have to worry about it so much if you keep the idea of kintsugi in your mind.
Around roughly 2,500 years ago, a philosopher called Siddhartha Gautama was born in Nepal. He is better known as Buddha or the Buddha. You have probably heard about him before. Buddha was a prince and his family was very wealthy. When he was growing up, he had a very luxurious life. If it was too sunny, he even had servants to hold white umbrellas over him so he could play in the shade. But he wasn't happy. There was so much suffering everywhere in the world. Even insects got trampled on, he noticed.
So when he grew up, Buddha asked himself a very tricky question. How can you stop suffering?
One big idea he had was that we should accept that things will never be perfect. People will misunderstand us. We will make mistakes. Our friends will sometimes be annoying or mean. Our plans won't work out. It will rain when we want to play football. We'll spill hot chocolate all over our trousers. We'll get a cold on the first day of summer holidays. We do not want them to happen, but we are alive on this earth and all sorts of things are unavoidable. Buddha encourages us to accept these things rather than getting annoyed by them. If we always want things to be perfect, we'll end up being very frustrated and much more sad than we need to be.
Buddha loved the idea of repairing things instead of just throwing them away. He thought that if something was old and worn and broken, you shouldn't see that as a bad thing. Many people were inspired by Buddha's ideas, and some of his followers, particularly in Japan, got very interested in how slightly damaged things can be very beautiful. Just like a teddy or a soft toy can become much more important to you when it's old and loved and has lots more of its fur.
Where do you find the meaning of life?
The main meaning of life is freedom from suffering through illnesses. People also think that it is the value in our minds and are subject to change over time.
Martin Landau argues to treat the meaning. essentially a sense of worth which we may all take in different ways.
Let's look at what philosophers think.
To this answer, you need to be religious. You ask, does it make sense? Then to pose the question. I answer, the man regards his own life and that his fellow creatures as meaningless is not merely unhappy, but hardly fits for life, wrote Einstein.
According to St. Thomas Aquinas, life is a gift from God to be loved and brought up in proper charity. The human being as a respectful person of this gift.
David Hume's philosophy is built around a single but powerful observation that the key thing we need to get right in life is feeling rather than rationality, but for Hume it is just another kind of animal.
Some people can also find the meaning of life outside of religion.
People out of religion can ask these questions.
What is important to me?
What am I truly good at?
What is my potential?
For many people, this question is the most difficult of the three. What is important to me? For most of our lives, we look to others to tell us what is important. When we are children, our parents provide us with structure and guidance.
When we will be adults, we are influenced by our friends, partners, and colleagues, not to mention the media, but how many of us have stopped to think about our values.
For the second question, finding meaning in our lives requires us to look beyond our values and our talents. In doing so, we will find ways to make the world a better place while enriching our lives with all our talents and traits.
How would you describe what you are really good at?
You are a strong communicator. Do you love to teach others? Are you creative, analytic, caring, disciplined? Are there specific sports or activities that feel natural to you?
The first two questions I asked you who you are. The last question focuses on what you can become. Each of us have potential to achieve greatness in our own way. Life is full of choices. Do you want to follow the path that you have always known, or will you chart a new course?
Will you accept your life as it is, or will you chase your potential knowing that you will never reach it? Will the search for your own potential lead you to the perfection in the journey?
Is it possible to live a normal life and never tell a lie? You can live without telling lies, but your life won't be normal. It's only by the power of God that living honestly is possible. It could be possible of living a life without telling even one single tiny white lie.
No, it's not possible to not lie. Every human being is a liar in some way. There is a considerable amount of lying which is normal and expected by society. There is a portion of it which people find unacceptable if you don't lie.
Even though paternalistic lies are often well-intentioned, if uncovered, they will usually backfire. Lying may be helpful when there is no ambiguity about the resulting benefits for those on the receiving end. But in most other circumstances, honesty is the best policy.
But pro-social lies, fibs intended to benefit others, can actually build trust between people, according to research. Just remember, lies are most beneficial when they're not selfish.
If you tell your partner he or she looks great before a date to boost his or her self-esteem, that's one thing relationship expert Jay Schweitzer says.
Lying is bad because a generally truthful world is a good thing. Lying diminishes truth between human beings. If people generally didn't tell the truth, life would become very difficult.
as nobody could be trusted and nothing you heard or read could be trusted. You would have to find everything out for yourself.
People lie in relationships to save face, avoid conflict, protect their egos, protect their image, and just to avoid hurting their partner's feelings. Devasala says, but of course, making a habit of lying isn't good for your relationship, period. It can destroy it, Devasala says.
One student, for instance, found that on average adults lie or admit to lying 13 times a week. Lying is as much as a part of normal growing and development as telling the truth, said Arnaldo Goldberg, a professor of psychiatry at Rush Medical College in Chicago.
If you're lying to spare others in harm or pain, that's considered prosocial lying and is often a sign that you've got a well-developed sense of empathy and can choose to act compassionately towards others. If you're lying to keep yourself out of trouble, that's not exactly a testament to your altruism or kindness.
Now let's tell a theory that Asher's had thought of. People lie daily. Asher's father, who always scolded her when she lied, when her dad's colleagues called him and asked him if he's on his way. "Yeah, I'm getting my car," are his words as he sits down to eat breakfast. No, every human being has lied at least once in his life. No matter what she says, it is impossible for a person not to lie. Lying can be different forms. Simple white lies that do not hurt anyone, harmful lies that can ruin a person's life.
Here's what John Papa Dim thought of. No one even knows the truth, the whole truth. So no, it's not possible. Lie less to oneself and try to not get buried in a lie, but honest about failures and setbacks. The lie compounds until one is unable to face simple truths and facts.
That is our problem today. We are in denial and delusion instead of faith in God. We believe in delusions attack people who speak mundane, everyday facts that were accepted by everyone 50 years ago and are true, such as a man and woman are different biologically.
An anonymous philosopher stated that a lie is not truly the wrong thing to do if the person being lied to has no right to the truth, and that no one is perfect. That is why pencils have erasers.
A common fact is that the average person lies 4 times a day, or 87,600, by the age of 60. The most common lie being, "I'm fine."
In reality, there is no such a thing as pure truth or lie, because there will always be both as long as we are still alive.
Telling lies is not a good thing to do, yet it's something which is almost impossible to avoid in our lives. No one is ever perfect, and I don't think that it will be possible to find someone in this world who has never told a lie in his or her life.
Telling a lie is part of normal brain development that starts at toddler age. Toddlers start telling lies subconsciously as means of learning boundaries.
Imagine how short the career of an ER doctor would be if lies were not possible to tell.
I heard he was hit by a truck. Did he suffer?
Yes, indeed. He was screaming for nearly 30 minutes before he passed out and died from loss of blood.
Teenagers start to do it to separate themselves from parental control. Students lie to avoid extra homework. Males and females lie about each other's looks and their own looks.
The correct thing to say would be, "No, your loved one died instantly." Telling the truth serves no useful purpose. The bereaved would only grieve even more. To pile on with the truth would seem cruel, don't you think?